I've been reading a book again by Billy Graham. In fact, part of the message I have today, the book inspired me. It's the last book he wrote, called Nearing Home. And the thing that he talked about was the song we just sang. We are God's children with Christ in our hearts. In our Father's house, there's a place for us. So we have to keep that in mind, that this is not our home. We have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. So, a couple of reminders. 2 weeks from today, the 31st of January, we will be meeting in our sanctuary. It is all fixed. It is all painted. It looks amazing. Can't wait for you to see it. You know, we're going to pray. You know, just a reminder when we do start meeting, because more people in the church have had COVID. I want to pray for you in just a moment, and the other people that need prayer. But just a reminder that when we do come back together, masks will be required the whole time that you're in the building. So let's pray. Lord, there's a lot of people at the school. Not a lot, but there are people at the school, more people in the church that have COVID. Lord, I pray for you to touch them, to minister to them, to heal them. Lord, regardless of how severe they have this disease, Lord God, I pray that you, this illness, Lord, I pray that you would touch them. Lord, I know a lot of times, and we're going to be speaking on this today, that when we're sick, Lord God, we're not doing well. It's so easy to become self-absorbed and just to look inward rather than outward. Lord, I pray for your peace. I pray for your comfort that can only come from your hand. Lord, we thank you that you love us and you're with us. And Lord, we have a lot of various prayer needs in this church. And at this time, Lord, I lift them all up to you, that you would move, that you would indeed be glorified. And Lord, I pray that as we look at the word, as I talk about the secret to fulfillment, Lord God, and we look at Job, Lord, I pray that we would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that if there's anything that you speak today, Lord, maybe it's a little convicting, but we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. For Lord, you are calling us to yourself. You are calling us closer. You are calling us, Lord, to the fulfillment that you have. In your name, amen. I'm going to be reading the main part today is from Job chapter 4. Many of you know Job. You know, Job was a man of God, and, you know, God's having a talk with the old devil, and God says, hey, look at my servant Job. And basically the devil goes, you know, he just serves you because you protect him all the time. So this is a super quick summary. So God allowed Job to be tested. His sons and daughters died, lost a lot of livestock. In fact, he almost lost everything in his life. Had a bunch of boils. He had a lot of suffering in his life. He lost everything. And he had three friends come and talk to him. And for the most part, those friends, they really weren't encouragers. But I loved what Eliphaz says to Job in chapter 4 and verses 3 through 6. So in the midst of his suffering, he goes to his friend Job and he says, in the past, you have encouraged many people. You have strengthened those who were weak. Your words have supported those who were falling. You encouraged those with shaky knees. But now, when trouble strikes, you lose heart. You are terrified when it touches you. Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? So, Lord, we just come quickly before you again, that those of us that need your hope, that need your encouragement when things don't go the way we think they should, let your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, minister your peace to us, Lord. In your name, amen. So last week, Syracuse is playing Georgetown in basketball. few minutes to go in the game, and the SU player, Merrick Dolje, got elbowed in the mouth and his front tooth broke in half. His mouth is bleeding. He goes to the sideline, and he's going to go in the locker room because he thinks with all the protocol, he can't play anymore. So his coach goes to him and goes, "Whoa, big fella, I need you in the game. You got to go back in there." So they stop the bleeding. He has half a tooth. His teeth are all red from the blood. And he goes back in the game, and he helped the team win. See, the lesson I want to talk about today, he could have gone to the locker room. He could have looked in the mirror, and he could have focused on his pain and his suffering. But what he chose to do was the task at hand, which is to play the basketball game. And today when I speak, please understand I am not making light of suffering, of pain. It is so real. But what I want to do is emphasize the goodness of the Lord, regardless of what we're going through in life. You see, at times, all of us struggle to understand the ways of God. This won't be on your screen, but 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then when we die, when we go to be with Jesus, we will see everything with perfect clarity." Paul writes, "All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." So we have to understand, will we always understand why we go through things? Of course not, because we're not with God, we're not complete, we're not perfect in his understanding. But we just have to trust him, put one foot in front of the other, and continue to move forward, to proclaim the Lord, to serve him, and to build his kingdom here on earth. What I'm talking about today is we need to tap into God's strength. The first point, we need to resist the natural urge to stay too inwardly focused. Life can be like a roller coaster. You know, if you like sports, you know what I mean. You like football, maybe your team scores a touchdown with a minute to go. Then you're up by 2 points. The other team, so you're excited, you're high-fiving, you're hugging one another. Man, you're pumped. But then you kick it off, and the other team gets the kickoff. They advance the ball, and they get the ball close enough where their kicker comes in, and as time runs out, you kick a field goal, and they win by one. So within a minute of game time, you have had the highest high and the lowest low. See, life's like that. Sometimes we're on top of the world, and hours later, man, the rug has been pulled out from under us. I want to encourage us today to guard against being a captive to your circumstance. You see, our faith and our discernment gets weaker when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. We got to focus on him. And in this book by Billy Graham, you know, he wrote it. He's probably within the last few years of his life. It's about aging. He's saying, you know, I can't even get up out of a chair by myself anymore. But he's just talking about, don't focus on that. Focus on the Lord. And he was talking to a nurse friend of his. And I understand this, but the nurse said, there is no one more self-centered in the world than a sick person. Why? Because it takes all of our energy and we just look at our sickness. You know, the old joke about fathers and mothers, you know, dads get sick and they're in bed with a cold and they're moaning like they're going to die. Well, mom gets sick and she still has to cook. She still has kids to take care of, so she can't focus on herself. And the thing is, we can't stay focused on ourselves. God is concerned when we take our eyes off of him. And we look at things other than Christ. I love when Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or the NLT says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. See, when I carry my own burdens, when I neglect to pray, when I neglect to spend time in God's Word, and when I find personally a source of comfort, when I'm really going through a tough time in life, I love to just read Psalms and let the Lord minister to me. But if I'm not doing that, if I'm not praying, if I'm not looking to God, and I'm not spending time with my friends and praying with them, when I carry my own burdens, it is impossible for me to have peace. Not the deep down peace that God wants us to have. But we need to be encouraged by God's Word. We need to look at prayer times, quiet times with the Lord. And what Eliphaz is saying to Job is, in the past, man, God really used you to encourage people. You strengthened people who were weak. But now that you're going through a hard time, and I'm sorry, if all my children died, if I had a terrible disease and I lost a lot of my possessions, yeah, I think I'd be on a pity party as well. But the truth of God here is what they're saying is we need to still serve the Lord regardless of circumstance. I read an account of there's a 30-year-old man. He's driving down the highway in Michigan, and all of a sudden he gets severe chest pains. So he pulls over the side of the road, calls an ambulance, and they take him to the hospital. Now, this 30-year-old man, they do all the x-rays, and they find that he has a cancerous tumor that has grown all around his heart. And as he's staying in the hospital, and they're trying to do whatever they can for him, the nurses were a little perplexed that he wasn't angry, that he wasn't sad, that he could stay chipper and upbeat. And when they asked him, he said, you see, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus Christ. So I am in a win-win situation. Maybe all that you're doing is going to heal me and I get to live longer. But maybe not. Maybe I'm going to pass away, which he did, by the way, but then I'm going to go home to my Jesus. So I look at that, and I know it's easier to preach and harder to live, but we got to keep our eyes on God. When we keep our eyes on the here and now, then we are slaves to our circumstances. You know, I love the song we just sang, even when I don't see you, you never stop working. So maybe you're in a situation right now where you don't know what's going on. You don't know why you've been dealt the hand you've had. Maybe the enemy's lying to you, telling you that, you know, God doesn't love you because you're going through stuff. That's not true. God allows circumstances in our life so that if we keep our eyes focused on Him, He's going to be glorified in powerful ways. You see, at the end of our days here, we're going to have eternity with Jesus Christ, and I look forward to that. The second point I want to make is give, and you shall surely receive. You know, again, Job's friend is saying, God used you so powerfully to help other people, to strengthen other people, to encourage other people. You were supporting those who were falling. You encouraged those with shaky knees. If you're in a place of need right now, what you have to do is allow the Lord to use you, to look at ways to be used. Maybe you can't get out of the house. You know, one of the things this past month of not meeting together has really re-emphasized with all of us is how much we need one another and how great it is when we get together and we fellowship and we can be with one another and worship Jesus together. So we all miss you guys. But maybe you're in a place where you can't do that, that you're maybe bedridden. Maybe you can't get out of the house. Then take a directory. Just start praying for people. You know, I read in the Billy Graham's book, this woman was in her 90s, couldn't get out of bed, but she went through her church's directory and she had a list of people she prayed for, and she said, I don't have enough time in the day because I'm praying all day long for these people, and when it's time to go to bed, I'm not done with my list. See, I love that attitude. I love that attitude that she didn't allow her hardships to be like that. You know, the last 10 years of my grandmother's life, for the most part, she was bedridden. You know, she was one of, you know, she was one of my closest friends. She loved the Lord. We had a good time. And I remember once, you know, I'm sitting by the chair next to her bed, and Melody and I were just talking to her, having a good old time. And I prayed with her. And I just remember when I got done, she said, "Wait a minute." And she started praying for me. It's probably one of the most humbling times in my life, but it was so powerful that this woman who wasn't doing well physically didn't keep her eyes off of God. And yes, she wanted to be up out of the bed, but she accepted her circumstances, wasn't a slave to it, and still had fellowship with the Lord. Would listen at the time, I'm talking about back in the early 80s, would listen to different preachers on the radio and just really love Jesus and spend time with him. You see, Job experienced hardships. He experienced loss. He experienced tragedy and emotional distress. And I understand we can't ignore our troubles because they won't go away. What I find is if I don't deal with something, I become more enslaved to it. It gets a stronger grip on my life. So I need to pray. I need to talk. I need to look to the Lord. You know, we need to persevere in all of our troubles. And the thing that I'm talking about today is, and I keep coming back and back and back to the same theme, is we got to stop being self-absorbed. We live in a society that encourages us to be self-absorbed. You know, I love sports and I watch a lot of games. And I've shared this before. I like the players that don't think they're God's gift to mankind. I like the players that do their job and go to the sideline. I am tired of the players that just want all the attention on themselves. You know, one of the things that James talks about is being slow to speak and quick to listen. What God is telling us in those verses is it ain't about you. Everybody doesn't have to know your story, but if you listen to people, love them, and watch God move. We need a vision of outward living, of looking to assist those in need. You know, in America, our political system is broken. It's ugly, and I know as Christians it can give us turmoil, but it gives us a place where we need to pray for our country. We need to pray that people start looking outward rather than inward. You know, the words of Billy Graham, "The Lord blesses people who bless him." Excuse me. "The Lord blesses people who bless others, and he gives peace, grace to those who focus on the things that please him." I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and in the last few years, his wife died of cancer, his mother died, his father died, and a few months ago, his adult son in his early 30s passed away unexpectedly. So we've been spending time together, we're talking on the phone, and I was just sharing with him how his faith has been such a testimony to my life. That through all the grieving and through all the tears and all the pain, he just looks to Jesus. And he said, Matthew 16:13-16. "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' Well, they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.' Then he," Jesus, "asked them, 'But who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.'" As my friend told me this, his voice was breaking up over the phone, but he said, "He's my Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. So everything that I have been through, I keep my eyes on him. Through all of the pain and all of the heartache." And I'm, you know, it's not like you say Jesus and you pray and he takes all the pain and the anguish and the circumstances away. He doesn't do that. But he walks with us through it. He walks each step, giving us strength, giving us mercy, giving us grace and comfort. You see, this man, friend of mine, he chose faith over understanding. Why am I in this situation? You ain't God, so you're not going to understand it. But you have to know that God can turn things around. That God wants to encourage you, and as the word for this year is to draw closer, God wants us to don't be so devoted and absorbed, I should say, to our own personal lives. Let's live what Paul did. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer me who lives. We need Jesus Christ. Look at the disciples. They were with Jesus for 3 years, and they still had arguments among themselves. When James and John wanted to be Jesus' right-hand men in heaven, it says the other ones grumbled. See, it shows me in life, regardless of where we're at, we need God. We need to focus, or we go down the sewer hole of self-absorption. And when I focus on my life, I don't see the light. I see the darkness because I'm looking into the pit rather than into glory. I look forward to the day that all my troubles are gone, that I know everything, that I'm with Christ and I'm just worshiping. You know, I think about like how awesome worship was, and in a little while we're going to close with a song. But man, when I get to heaven just worshiping God, serving Him, loving Him, it's going to be amazing. Verse 6, doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Let the past, don't dwell in the past. That was then, this is now. Let your past in God encourage you for tomorrow. God moved in your past faithfully. He's going to move in your today. He's going to move in your tomorrow. It probably, in fact, I can almost guarantee, it won't be how you expect it to be. But God will never leave you or forsake you. So the Lord blesses people who bless others, and He gives grace to those who focus on the things that please Him. We need to focus on Christ. We need to look to God. My last point, faith defeats discouragement. I had a friend of mine in Special Forces. He was a walking cliche. You know, when something would be bad or he'd, you know, get hurt, he'd go, "That pain is just whatever, death leaving the body," some stupid comment. "I don't get tired. I have enough time to sleep when I die." Or pain is weakness leaving the body. I mean, all these things. You know what? I'm weak. I need the Lord Jesus Christ in my strength. And the thing that is we're doing worship. The thing that the Lord is saying to me is it's time for us, and I feel like I'm saying this over and over again for crying out loud every week. But God is saying it's time to rise up. It's time for us to tap into the power that we have. It's time, you know what? I would encourage you, read through the book of Acts. Look how powerfully God moves, and He wants to do that today. The same Holy Spirit that moved then wants to move today. It's time for us to believe God, to not get caught up in where we're at, but get caught up in where God wants us to be and what He wants us to be doing. Yes, we're going to go through hard times, and the enemy is going to keep piling on, saying you're no good, et cetera, et cetera. But we have to say, you know what? I do revere God. I do have confidence in Jesus Christ. And God is the God of my hope. We need to read the word and allow His promises to carry us. You see, we reap what we sow. If you're not a student of the word, if you're not praying daily, if you're not spending time with God, your faith will grow weaker, and when the hard time comes, you're going to struggle more than you could be. I'm not a big fan of water. I'm not a big fan of boats. I am a big fan of dry ground. I remember years ago, I'm down in Maryland with my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law, and we're out on their boat, we're out on this Chesapeake, and, you know, the spirit of stupidity came upon me, and fully clothed, I just jumped into the water. Little did I know that current was going to take me farther away from the boat than I really anticipated. So for a brief second, man, I just panicked. I mean, I didn't, you know, I just had this look of panic. So, you know, thank you, Lord, for my son-in-law came to my rescue. I need me a life preserver, and Jesus Christ is my life preserver. Jesus Christ is my life preserver. When I'm drowning in the struggles of life, sometimes I just sit back. I talk to my Alexa, tell her to play some instrumental Christian music, and I just sit there and let the Holy Spirit minister to me. Because what I do is, then I read the Psalms, and I let the Holy Spirit go, man, Bo, we got this. We're going to get through this. And the thing is, I'm getting to the place where, though it's not fun, when I'm going through stuff, and Lord, give me a break, please. You know, it's like, God is going to make this into a testimony. God is going in the future to use what I'm going through to minister to other people. I've shared this before. When I lived in Copenhagen, had a woman in our church whose 13-year-old daughter spent a year in Roswell in Buffalo dying of cancer, and she passed away. I wish that on nobody. But in the years to come, when hardship would hit people in that village, they would open their doors to her because they knew she understood. And there's times I'd try to talk to somebody, but they wouldn't listen to me. But this woman, because of her past, she understood, and they would sit and listen to her for hours, and she could point them to the Lord. You know, Billy Graham talked about his wife, Ruth. Even though she was in pain, she was confined by age, because the fact of the matter is, the older we get, the less we can do. But she didn't let herself dwell on those circumstances. She looked for ways to be a blessing to others. Maybe you're at home, and you know what? Seasonal depression is a real thing. It's things I've struggled with at times. But if you're depressed, if you're struggling, write notes to people. Mail them cards. Give them a call. Give them a text. Give them an email. Just get your minds off of your circumstance and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. You'd be amazed how in such a brief period of time you can change your outlook and your attitude. Our attitudes are never picked up when we shortchange ourselves by looking in the mirror. We have to look at the cross. You know, there is such a tremendous blessing when we give out of our need. You know, there are times when God will speak to Melody, to myself, and we're the ones that we think we need something, but God says, no, I want you to give. I want to live my life like the woman who had two coins. She threw them in the offering, and Jesus said, she gave more than everybody because she gave all she had to live on. And I'm not talking about money this morning. I'm talking about, if you have a need in your life, then you need to be praying, God, who do you want to use me with? Who do you want me to minister to, God? Not, God, come and fill my need. No, God, who do you want me to bless? Let me give out of my need and allow the Holy Spirit to move. God never says, look at your circumstance. He says, look at me. He says, look at me. A lot of times we look for sympathy. Man, looking for sympathy is addictive. Somebody gives you a lot of sympathy. Man, you're doing bad, yada, yada, yada. It's like a high. Wow, they love us. We feel affirmed. Well then, man, I'm going to talk to somebody else. Maybe I can get more of that. I don't want to be a sad Christian. I want people to see Jesus Christ and the hope of glory in me. I want to see, lift up my head rather than lower it and let everybody put their arm around me. See, we need to focus on Jesus Christ. Romans 8 says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would ask you this week to take those verses out, to read Romans 8, 38 and 39, and ask the Lord to show you the places where you struggle. Now, please understand, I'm not saying you're weak in faith if you ever react to something emotionally. If you know me, I react, but I don't stay there. I try not to stay there. I try to, even in my anger, let the Holy Spirit minister to me. So we're emotional beings, so I know you're gonna have emotions. You're going to have highs. You're going to have lows. You're going to have depression. But you need to turn to the Holy Spirit and let God minister to you. You need to see, no matter what you're through, and there's some of you today, I feel like the Lord wants to say, some of you are struggling in your faith. Some of you are doing things with your life that you know God's telling you not to do. There's places in your life where you're just caught up in sin, and right now God's saying, if you repent from that, man, you're with God. See, a lot of times when I don't repent and I live in my sin, that does move me away from the Lord. But today God's saying it's time to come on home. I really feel like God wants to release the gift of faith to a lot of people. The gift of faith is different than faith, because the gift of faith is something that you know, that you know, that you know, regardless of circumstance. You know, faith is God, man, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to trust you. But at times, gift of faith, the Lord's given it to me. I can't explain why. I just know it is. Why? Because God spoke it, and it's going to happen. So God wants to minister today that there is nothing, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. The devil, the earth is his reign. We're going to go through things because spiritual warfare exists. Job didn't deserve to go through all that he went through, but God, we don't know why, God allowed the devil to kill his family, to take a lot of what he owned, to give him boils, etc., etc., etc. His wife goes, hey, just curse God and die. He refused to do that. Refused to do that. Yes, I've repeated this in the past with my buddy out at 9 Mile. Comes into work one day and he lost his stuff. I'm not laughing, especially if he ever sees this. He had a fire in his apartment. He lost everything. He's coming in all happy. He goes, hey, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here as I do a summary and a quick prayer. This walking by faith through all of life's hardships, never easy. Unfortunately, all of us experience loss in our life. We go through hard times. I just want to encourage you to, the one thing I felt the Lord wanted to say today is, don't dwell on your hardships. Don't give them more power than they should have. Dwell on God. Don't be dragged into a place of being self-absorbed. In the midst of your struggles, look for places to bless other people. If you're not getting out, get a church directory. Man, just start praying through it. A group of people a day. Make sure you have a couple of close friends that you can trust, that you can talk to, and you can walk with to talk through your problems and pray together. Stay focused on Jesus, because the cross is always in front of us. Tell you what, we're going to worship, then I'll come up, close in prayer.